Now Julianne's not going to pay any attention to the sermon. Not that you do any other time. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not supposed to be here. Richard Anderson, the most reverend, is supposed to be here. I was supposed to be somewhere coming out of Texas at this moment. You see, I was supposed to fly on Wednesday to meet my daughter in Pittsburgh. And we were going to drive together for 31 hours.
Ooh.
In a little car. Across the country to move her here. And then the women's prerogative kicked in on Tuesday. And she said, I've changed my mind. Now, this is not what I wanted, nor was this what Mason wanted. But nonetheless, this is what has come to fruition. Because you often don't get the things that you want. I have a long list of things that I want. That list has homes, vacation homes, cars, big TVs, exotic vacations in different places, all kinds of electronics, because electronics are fun, aren't they, guys? You get to do things. Well, it's mostly a guy thing, isn't it? There are some women who are really into electronics, but, you know, for me, that's on the list. There's a bunch of other things on the list, things I want. But of those things that are on the list, they're things that I don't have, nor will I probably ever get. Because sometimes you just get what you need. You know, that whole thing about quoting Mick Jagger in sermons is rather disturbing, but the reality is he was right. You don't always get what you want, but you get what you need. The people who always want and think they should get what they want no matter what the circumstances are generally are fairly narcissistic in terms of their approach to the world because they think they're special. We are enamored with those special people in our world. We're inundated with those special people in our world because, in fact, when you look at what's going on today in terms of the current political climate, there's nothing like having two narcissists running for president. And they'll both tell you they should be president, they deserve to be president, they want to be president. And then they take selfies of each other. Which seems to be another narcissistic sort of thing. And one of them is going to find out you don't always get what you want. In today's Old Testament lesson, the prophet was complaining. Where are you, God? Why are you taking so long? Why have you left us in this situation? Look at all these terrible things that are happening. We don't want this. We want you to come and fix it. We want you to make it better. After all, we're your people. We are entitled. And that's one of the things that goes with the narcissistic sense is a sense of entitlement. I deserve to have this. After all, it is me we're talking about, isn't it? And so I should get what I want because it's me. I'm special. I'm better than the rest of these people. I should be the one that you coddle and nurture and care for, God. I'm part of your people. Where are you, God? It's funny how that first lesson has such a tie-in to our gospel lesson. Because it naturally doesn't seem to flow when you first look at it, but at a second and a third reading, it really blends well together because here we have the other group of entitled ones, the little boys following Jesus, doing the things that Jesus asked them to do, trying to understand what the gospel is about, trying to understand what his purpose in the world is about, trying to get it through their thick skulls, what this is all about. And time and time and time and time and time and time again, they don't. Which is really nice. Because otherwise the Gospels wouldn't have much to tell us, would they? But because we're a little slow, we don't always get it ourselves. And so we have these Gospels setting before us that have this fine example of the disciples there acting as our surrogates, asking those questions that we might be asking, drawing the same conclusions that we might draw, albeit as wrong as they could be, nonetheless the conclusions we draw. So God, how about a little help here? How about a little faith? Just a little bit. Well, what's a little bit? Jesus says, well, I'll tell you a little bit. Mustard seed, that's a little bit. And they go, oh yeah, that's small. We go, huh? Because we don't carry mustard seeds around with us so much anymore. We have some great poupon maybe, but we don't have mustard seeds. And so it is that tiny, tiny mustard seed that suddenly can now put a tree and place it in the ocean. If we have faith the size of a mustard seed, this minuscule little sense of faith. And in the end, as Jesus goes on then to liken us and the disciples to slaves called to do what they're supposed to do, what we find out is we have that faith. People are greatly disturbed by the end of this gospel lesson. Worthless slaves! What do you call me a worthless slave for? I'm not worthless! I have lots to offer! After all, I'm entitled to be a slave. You know, the concept that we quite often lose in terms of our relationship with God is the fact that it is our relationship with God. This isn't our next door neighbor. This isn't our buddy and our best friend. This isn't somebody that we're akin to that has the same sort of skill set that we have. This is God. God, way up here. Mark, way down here. I am the worthless slave. You are the worthless slaves. This is God. We are called to serve. We are called to do certain jobs with the faith we have. And that faith is called to utilize our skills, our gifts, and our abilities. And we're supposed to do the job. We're not supposed to be standing around whining and complaining that we don't have what other people have. We're not supposed to be saying, well, they didn't have enough faith, I can't go do that. We're supposed to take what we've been given and the things that we have, and we're supposed to utilize them. We're supposed to use them. We're supposed to serve God. As slaves, serve God. Not expect things from God, but give things to God. That's what slaves do. They don't sit at the table and say, "Whew, I've had a hard day. Could you please serve me now? What are you going to give me, God? What you need?" That's what God is going to give you. What you need. I have to tell you a story. I told you the story before, but for those of you who weren't here or those of you who were sleeping, it goes like this. During Hurricane Katrina, there was a man in New Orleans, and the water's rising. He's sitting on his front porch, and the water rises up to the front porch, and his neighbor comes by in a rowboat and says, "Fred, get in the rowboat. I'll take you to safety." Fred goes, "Nah. God will provide." The water continues to rise. Fred's now on the second floor. He's sticking his head out the window. The Coast Guard comes by in one of those fancy boats. Says, "Sir, jump in the boat." "No, I'm fine. God will provide." The water keeps rising. Fred's now on the roof. A helicopter comes flying over top. It's hovering over him. They send a rope ladder down on the speaker. It says, "Sir, grab hold. We'll get you to safety." Fred says, "No, God will provide." God's standing at the pearly gates before God because he drowned. He says, "Hey, God, you said you'd provide." That's what I always was taught. That's what I always read. And I placed my life with that understanding. And now I'm here. And God looks at him and says, "Well, Fred, I sent you a rowboat, a speedboat, and a helicopter. What more do you want?" You see, the reality of our lives is God sends us those things that we need. The things to serve Him. The things to do the job in this world. The things that we need to be able to aid our neighbors in need. The things that we need to do to be able to honor and serve God through the actions of our lives. We have the faith. It is there. It might only be the size of a mustard seed, and we might not be able to see it very well, but it is there. And when we choose to utilize that faith, when we choose to take that faith and mix it all up with what we know and what we understand and what we can do, and we set out there to accomplish the things that we can to serve God, then we're doing what we're called to do. Then we're being the slaves that God has insisted us to be. Then we are serving the world at large on God's behalf. You know that whole ELCA thing? God's work, our hands. Because that's where it happens. Not just our hands. With our minds, with our bodies, with our hearts, with our souls, that we go out and take the things that we have and we use them, mixing it in with that faith that God has planted within our hearts to go out and to serve God in a variety of different ways, but by serving God through helping others. We have what we need. I would imagine if we could rewind the story to the conversation that Habakkuk was trying to have with God and saying, "Hey God, where are you? We need help here." God's going, "Hey dummy, I gave you what you need. Why don't you go and do something about it?" Because the reality is when we sit and we whine and we complain and we say, "Well, I don't have the things that I need." God says, "You do have the things that you need. You simply need to use them in the manner for which they were given to you." We have that ability to change our world, to change the worlds of others, to be able to step out of this place and be the person that God has called us to be. With the faith that God has inculcated within ourselves, mixing that with the gifts that we've been granted. We have the ability to change the world. We have the ability to change our lives. And we have the ability to change the lives of others. It's not a matter of looking around and wishing for what we don't have. It's a matter of understanding what it is that we do have and thanking God for those blessings and those gifts, and then taking them and using them in the manner for which God gave them to us. Using them for the betterment of the world around us. Then we can understand the power of the faith that we have. Because it's then that we truly understand the gifts of God. Amen.